go this week to Greenville to take on Muhlenberg County. The 3-2 Mustangs are in their new $3.8 million football facility. Beautiful place, turf field, artificial turf field, I should say. Coach Starnes, I know we're pretty excited about this. The Rockets are 3-1. This team's 3-2. We've got a couple of common opponents, so that they have actually handled much easier than we did. So how are the Rockets going into this game? We think we've got a shot to win this. Obviously, a team that beat us by one last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have to expect our players to make big plays and be able to execute and take advantage of some things that we think we can take advantage of. But, you know, we're going to have to execute, make sure that it happens. You know, and if that happens, then we have a chance. And it all goes back to controlling the clock and making sure that we keep the ball out of their offense's hands. But I can tell you, they're big. They're pretty quick. And they fly to the football hard. So, you know, we've got some things to set up offensively to try to stop their flow to the football as hard. And hopefully it'll work out.
Of course, this is a team that doesn't have a great deal of tradition. They've had Greenville started out with a football program. The rest of the county schools didn't. And then there was Muhlenberg North and South, and neither one of those teams were very successful. And now once they've consolidated the entire county, only for a few years, we've played them one time and like I said, lost by 1 point. So this is a team that's kind of searching for an identity, and we're starting to see, looks like they're getting better every year that we've
seen. They're improving. I mean, you know, we've scrimmaged them, or we played Muhlenberg South, and so they're improving each time, each year, and they're getting better. And it's just, you know, you're talking about a 6A school, so they have a lot of kids to choose from. And when you consolidate a school like that, and it takes a little bit while for the program to build. But, you know, Browning Hayes is their coach right now, and I think that he's doing a good job. And I know him, and he'll work hard at it. And they built that facility over there. So, you know, maybe their program's on the upswing. But, you know, for us, they're going to be a hard team for us to beat simply because of their size and their speed, and we just have to make sure that we play aggressive football, and same thing that we've been preaching all year is do your job and take care of your responsibility and be aggressive, and that's what we want to do, and as long as we do that, we'll be okay.
They've got a running back, Braylon Hampton. He's rushed for over 100 yards a game. He has 400, or right at 100. He's 415. They've actually played five games this year, won three and lost two. And he's a pretty good running back, quarterback, Hunter Combs. He wears number two. He's a good runner and pretty good passer. They've thrown several five touchdown passes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he can run and throw. He can do it. And so, and they run him. You know, they actually run a version of the wing T from a spread formation and shotgun. So, you know, we're going to have to be on our toes and make sure that we read and trust our keys and be aggressive. And we got to play down the hill. If we play lateral, then we won't have a chance because they're faster than we are. So we have to play our technique and make sure that we contain them and box them in and let our linebackers flow through the ball.
Coach Jeremy Wheeler, the defensive coordinator, you've had your work cut out for you this week preparing for this team, haven't you?
It's been crazy week trying to prepare for this team. You know, they do a lot offensively, throw a lot of different formations at you, and when they do throw a lot of formations at you, you have to make sure that you take time to go over all the adjustments and not get your kids thinking too much about exactly being in the right spot on everything. When it comes down to it, they just need to play football. But the wing tee, you know, first time I ever heard about it was, I think, my senior year. Coach Starnes took us to a camp, and we went to the wing tee, and we thought it was the greatest thing ever. And now, as a defensive coordinator, it's a thing that I least like to see, just because it's so hard to defend. Because if you don't do your job, and linebackers get their eyes caught in the backfield, they go the complete opposite way, and it's hard to track down, especially a Muhlenberg team who is quite quick, and their quarterback is a great wing tee quarterback. He's one of those ones that you like to see quarterbacks that are very mechanical, and you kind of know about what they're going to do. But he just continues to extend plays with his feet, and he'll still keep his eyes down the field and make plays. Throws a great ball, but he's just one of those ones that you have no clue what he's going to do, but he's going to make something happen. So he's going to be hard to stop, and their backs run very, very hard. So like I said, hopefully we'll continue to fix some of the mistakes we've had in the past. And, you know, we're still looking for kids to step up and be the ones that want to make the play instead of being the ones that say, well, I hope somebody else makes the play for me.
I know we've got some changes on defense with Tyler Coleman out this week, still nursing that leg that he injured last week.
Yeah, we've had our kids are very great in the fact that they can always move around. And so, you know, we move the line around, and Coleman's been one that can move from defensive line, you know, back to linebacker. And then we had, you know, a change that nobody's really thought about, but all last game we had Noah Dickerson go back to corner, which he played as a freshman and a sophomore. Last year he went to safety, and this year, first part of this year he did. And we put Alex Cosby back there. We feel that Alex is very aggressive from safety and gets downhill, still very quick and athletic, so he can get over the top of things. So, defensively, I just thought the linebackers probably had the best practice they've ever had all week. Actually, on inside drill, went with Coach Starnes. Didn't even go over the DBs because Coach Thompson was over there with them. I usually kind of go back and forth, and I just thought the linebackers did a great job. They finally kind of understood the triangle that we've been teaching, and I'm sure, you know, you teach in the Little League, you got to see the triangle, and so like I said, hopefully they're going to have a big game and get downhill.
And you know, Gary McConnell's the one that's filling in for Tyler Coleman in his absence right now. And, you know, it's a chance for Gary to improve and work hard. And we've challenged him, and he's very capable of doing it. So he's going to be offensive guard as well as playing the defensive tackle.
He's
so.
A big kid.
He's a big kid. And his motor, and that's what we have to have. His motor goes 100 miles an hour, and he's going to have probably the biggest guy line up in front of mm-hmm. him. So we've challenged him, and that guy's probably 6'4", looks like he's 300 pounds. Moves well. He plays guard and pulls. You know, so we're going to have to make sure that we play 100 miles an hour and stop some of that the wing T stuff.
Is that number 65 for them? Yeah, he's one of their top tacklers, lineman. Has 29 tackles on the defensive side, so he's obviously one of their better athletes.
Yeah, up front. And what he does, he's so big and he uses his hands well, and he just pushes linemen out of the way and makes the play. So. You know, we tried to impress upon Gary the importance that he's going to have to stay low on this guy, because, you know, you take somebody that big and he's just stronger than you are and bigger, and he's just going to throw you out of the way. So, you know, there's some technique that you can use. So we challenged him, showed him the technique, and hopefully that'll happen. But it's not just him. I mean, I'm telling you, their linebackers play hard. They're one of the most aggressive secondary teams that I've seen as far as stopping the run and how they fly to the football. And, you know, I'm watching the safety, and the safety makes a play in the backfield for a loss of 2 yards when they hand the ball off, and they're flying right now. So, you know, we're going to have to do some things in order to slow that down.
That means we're going to throw deep this week, right?
Well, we'll look and see.
Of course, Dylan Hollis had a big game receiving last week. Dylan is the leading receiver on the team this year after having 103 yards last week. So that gives him 111 on the season. So most of it coming last week. But then also Dylan's playing very well. We talked about him earlier in the week, how he seems to be dealing with his injury, this chronic back problem, and he's more comfortable now, I think, just knowing that he's not damaging anymore. 35 tackles on the year. And Dylan's just a good football player.
You know, just outstanding game all the way around. You know, and I think he is starting to feel better. You know, I heard him yesterday make a comment in practice that he feels good today and bouncing around. And, you know, and hopefully that not knowing prior to that was a cause of him not to turn his motor loose and open it up. So I think he has now, and I think he knows that he can't hurt his back anymore. And so, therefore, I think he's comfortable with that. And, you know, we'll just have to see what happens. But, you know, just an outstanding game last week, and we look for him to have one this week as well.
Of course, you can get all the statistics, cumulative stats for the team on the year, and then week by week at the Rocket blog. Also, I'd like to talk about some players here. Mason Myers has 23 tackles this year. Seth Birdwell, 29. Nick Cassidiller, 24. Lane Wallace, 27. Travis Fitzgerald, 21, and Travis McKinney, 21. So that's a lot of guys on up there in tackles.
Yeah, and yeah, it's pretty good. And, you know, they're good players, and we have to continue to do that. We have to make sure that that those tackles on the other side of the line of scrimmage instead of for gaining yardage, and that's what we want to happen. And we have to look at that. So, you know, I mean, the kids are playing hard. They're playing well, and we have to continue that. And, you know, our opponents get a little bit tougher now, so we have to see what we're made of. But, you know, again, we've challenged the kids to play hard, and as long as they play hard, we have a chance to win the ball game. If we don't play and match their will, then you know, it could be a long night for us. So, you know, they chose us for homecoming, and so we're going to go up there and see if we can spoil the homecoming.
Of course, we chose them last year for homecoming.
That's right.
And they spoiled it a little bit for
paybacks.
Us. Yeah, it was if I remember right, that's the game where Travis Gilbert got hurt and kind of ended his career at quarterback. He played some more later on defense, I think. He didn't play at all after that.
No, in that game, it was we scored first and we had the bad snap, and so we didn't get the extra point. The next time we scored, we went for two. And missed and didn't get the 2-point conversion. They scored twice and we blocked it. But late in the fourth quarter is when he hurt his knee. He played another 3 minutes.
Okay.
And he got it checked over the weekend. He came in that Monday and said that he blew his knee.
Yeah,
so he didn't play anymore. He played, like I said, 3 or 4 minutes with his knee like that, but he didn't play after that game.
Let's look at some common opponents with this team. Of course, we've played Webster County last weekend. We know about them, and then Hopkins Central in the Warrior Bowl. That's two teams that this Muhlenberg Mustang group has played. They beat Hopkins Central 42-7, and they beat Webster County 44-6. So they put up a lot more points on those guys than we did.
Yeah, well, it probably was a little bit conservative on our part too. You know, when we get a lead, you know, I have a tendency to try to sit on the lead and run the clock down. And what goes through my mind is I don't want to just create something that's something bad for our team and it come back to haunt us. So, you know, that's on me. But, you know, that's the way that I am, and that's the way I'll continue to be. You know, when we have a lead like we had, I'm not interested in scoring 40 points. If it happens, it happens. But at that point, I'm interested in winning the ball game, and that's what I try to do.
So these don't concern you at all, the disparity between the schools?
No, I mean, what concerns me is how Muhlenberg plays. You know, any given day you can look at the score and try to compare, but I think it becomes matchups. And, you know, what we do and what they do are different than what Hopkins Central does and what Webster does. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that they're better than we are because they scored more points or they held the opponents to less points. So it's just about matchups and how you can take advantage of what they give you, and that's what we're going to try to do.
And Chris, if you look at the Webster against Muhlenberg game, Webster, I think, had 6 or 7 turnovers, and 3 of them were on their side of the field. So Muhlenberg had a short field, 3 of the scores, and you know, that's why the disparity probably looks like that. But you know, like when he talks about the matchups, I joke with him quite a bit about not throwing enough points, just joking around. But it, you know, it is true. You know, they got the matchups they wanted against Webster and Hopkins Central both. And you know, just because you have common opponents, you have to look at actually what happened in the game. And 6 turnovers is hard enough to overcome, but if you have 3 or 4 of those and the team has a 30 or 40 yard field, it makes for a long night.
I don't know if anyone has recognized this, but Andy brought this point out in some of his statistics. If it hadn't been on the web already, we'll have it on this week. But this is the we're averaging 16 first downs per game, and we've not averaged that in a season for over 20 years. So that's a pretty incredible statistic. We're moving the chains, and when you look at some of these guys rushing, you know, Lane Wallace leads the team in rushing with 440 yards. And he's averaging 6.3 yards per carry. Mason Myers is averaging 4.5 yards per carry when he comes in there for Lane. And then you got Dylan Hollis. You know, he hadn't carried the ball as much, but he's averaging 7.8 yards a carry. So we're moving the chains, and really, like you alluded to a while ago, I mean, we're a ball control team.
That's right. And that, you know, that was our focus going into this year. And Chris, to be honest with you, that's been our focus since I've been here for 24 years now. It's control the ball. It's play in front of the change. It's 3 yards in a cloud of dust, because then you have a chance to go for it on 4th and 1. if you get your 3 yards. If it's anything over that, it's a plus. And we've
been going for it too on fourth and
sometimes.
14. Go ahead. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's
just
okay.
Throw that in there.
if they give it to you, we're going to take advantage of it. And what has to happen is you have to be a disciplined football team, and you can't jump offside. You can't snap the ball early. You know, you can't hold. You can't do things that line up in a wrong formation. And, you know, you can't do those things and expect to play the kind of ball that we play. So you have to be disciplined, and that's what we count on. And that's why we want to make sure that we are disciplined. And if we're not, then we're gonna struggle all night long. And, mm-hmm. and so that should be what our focus is, and that should be what we are and who we are. And that's what we want to do, is control the ball. And that's why we don't throw the ball that much mm-hmm. because, you know, I mean, you know, there's two bad things that can happen in when you throw the football, and one good thing. So, you know, we want to make sure that we try to take advantage of what we can take advantage of.
And that we still keep talking about the fake punt last weekend, which really put the game away. I equate it to, it's the same as a suicide squeeze in baseball. I mean, it's one of those plays that it's almost do or die.
Hero or zero.
Yeah. And you know, we had a couple of heroes on that. Dylan Hollis and Noah Dickerson were the heroes. And I'm still, everywhere I go this week, people are talking about the fake punt.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's one of those situations again that it has to be executed well, and they have to give it to us, and they gave it to us, and you have to call it, and so we called it. It was a big risk, but it's just confidence that you have in your kids, because we do it every week, and we practice it all the time. So we just don't draw it up in the dirt. It's part of what we do. That's one of the reasons why we went to the rugby punt, is because we have Noah back there that can either run it, can throw it, and does a good job of punting it as well. So, you know, he's got the green light every time that he feels that he can run it. He's got the mm-hmm. green light to do it. So we're not going to stop him. Just like when they go in motion and they don't cover Dylan Hollis up, then we have the green light to throw it. And when we call it, you know, it's great that it was executed that well, because it was a big momentum changer, I felt like. And it could have been a momentum changer the other way if it didn't work. Right. So, you know, we're just glad that it did work.
You know, punters don't get enough credit, if you ask me. You know, those guys, even drop back punters, and I know this is even takes more of an athlete to be a punter that you know, is on the move constantly and trying and punting it like a rugby style. It's just it takes a lot of nerve, takes coolness and athleticism, and they don't get enough credit sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, Noah's not a true punter, and he's not the typical punter that you have on the field, and I don't know that we have a now he can punt the ball just mm-hmm. regular punt and do it well. But when you do that, I think it's just you become one dimensional. You either have to punt it or you fake it. And so by this by doing that, we feel like that you have an athlete with the ball in his hands that can run and throw.
So you have confidence in making decisions too.
Yeah, very much so. And so by also rugby punting, what you do is you eliminate the possibility of a big return, because it the way the ball is punted, we want it to hit the ground and we want it to roll, and it roll to one side. And if it doesn't continue down the field, then we want it to go out of bounds where they can't pick it up. So it has to be he has to be accurate on the punt as well. And so that's the focus of it. That's the reason why we do it, just because of the capability of getting the first down by running it or throwing it. But more importantly, it's because to eliminate the possibility of a big return, which we know is a big momentum changer, and we don't want that. So when we do fake it and it works our way, then that's also a momentum changer for us, and we feel like we had advantage there.
All right. Well, any closing thoughts, Coach Wheeler?
No, like I said, kids are really looking forward to this. I think Lane Wallace has continued to step up as a leader this week, and I think they're taking it to heart that we lost, you know, last year, you know, by 1 point. And Coach Starnes did a great job this week of reinforcing the idea that we are their homecoming game. I think that goes back to in the early 90s when he said that Crittenden was don't know, five or six,
seven
different homecomings, and you know, now how our program has changed. So I'm looking forward to it. I think kids are going to be excited to play. You know, we know they're still going to make mistakes, but we're looking forward to it because we are mitigating our mistakes, and we'll see what happens come Friday night about 10:30 when the game's over.
Coach Starnes?
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing that facility as well.
It's nice. We were over there last year for some Little League football games, and it's really nice. One thing, you know, lace up the shoes tight because that crumb rubber out there on the field will get in your shoes in a hurry.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
All right. Thank you, guys. Good luck this week over at Greenville.
All right, thanks, buddy. Chris. Appreciate it.